Thought for today. When I am right, I do not argue with myself. When I am right, I do not argue with myself. How do I know when I'm right? How do I know that my choices are right? How do I know that my response is right to any given situation? What should I think when people ask me to do things which is contrary to the program that we have on campus? What should I think when people ask me to talk with them about things that are not harmonious with my attitude? What should I think when people expect me to act in certain ways that are contrary to my choice for myself? What should I think? Well, what I should think is that I had better do my homework. I'm putting some causes in motion in my life, and I'm getting responses that I'm not too harmonious with. Because nothing happens by chance. No coincidence. Nothing happens by chance. Everything happens because a cause was put into motion and the result follows. So, I am having these people coming into my world who are not harmonious with it because I am thinking of thoughts that are not harmonious. I am having people come into my world who are speaking unkind actions and thoughts, talking badly about other people, because I have those kind of thoughts in my consciousness. It has to be that way. No matter what comes into our life, it comes into our life because we have put the cause in motion for it to happen. And when I'm right, I don't argue with myself. When I'm right, I know everything is in divine order. Someone says to me, "Hey, let me tell you a dirty story." And I say, "Hey, thank you very much, but I'm not interested." Or, "Thank you very much, but did you hear this one?" And tell some harmonious story. We don't need to even entertain them. We don't certainly need to be unhappy with anybody who brings anything into our world. We don't need to argue with them. We don't need to run them down and tell them they're bad for coming into our world and doing something, because we have created that. When I'm right, I do not argue with myself. When other things come into my world that I do not choose to be part of, and they want to persist, I don't argue with them. We have this statement, agree with your adversary quickly. Immediately, you agree with the person. "Hey, that's nice, but let me tell you mine." And that's perfectly okay. We want to be the master of ourself, the master of our world, the master of our circumstances. Now, we have some people coming to campus from time to time, and they come to campus because they want to experience our positive vibrations here. And people are usually students who come. In fact, I don't know of any that have not been students. But they're students who come, and they know the rules, and they know the program, and they work with the program very beautifully. But are they ever bringing with them their friends or relatives or husbands or wives or children who are not active in the campus program, who are not active in the monastery program, who are not active in the school, the university, or the church? Well, if they do, that's okay. We have set aside rules for that. But do we have extenuating circumstances that come occasionally? And in these extenuating circumstances, what do we do? I look at it this way. I say that we are a healing center. And we are a healing center because everyone here is tuned in to the perfect right action about themselves. You follow me? We are a perfect healing center, and everyone who walks on these grounds is instantly healed according to their belief. We are a monastery with rules and programs. We are a school with rules and programs. We are a practitioner program with rules and programs. Very good rules that work. Don't tell me your problem. Tell me the solution. That's our rule. That's not such a bad rule. Yes, it is a terrible rule. I want to tell you what's wrong with me. I want to tell you what's my problem. I want to tell you all about the garbage. No, 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 no. Do you think it was prophetic, the email we received this morning, which had attached to it, I don't really know how many pages. I should have looked. It probably would have said how many pages of garbage. 20, 30 pages of garbage attached to it, and it tried to print itself up on my computer, on my printer. Is there something prophetic about that? You know what prophetic means, don't you? It means prophesy, to say something that is going to happen, something that's going to come about, unless we change it. Now, is there something that is telling us something? It's giving us a message. We must be very firm in everything we do, with everyone we work with, in every circumstance, that we do not allow ourselves to lose the direction of our program here on campus. Anita has said oftentimes, this is paradise. I could never find another place that was so fulfilling to me as this is. I could never look around the world and find a place that was as satisfying and rewarding and uplifting and fulfilling the direction I want to go. Sylvia says the same thing. I could never find another place that was more paradise than this. Sylvia has her moments of hell here. I'm sure Anita has her moments of hell. And Ingeborg, she too believes that this is her philosophy. This is her school, her church. This is her organization. This is her campus. And that's good. And she cooperates with the program 100%. And Ellen? Well, there's just no getting around that. Ellen says this is home. This is her belief. This is her life. This is her direction. This is what she wants to do in life. And she wants to do all sorts of other little things too, but they all fit into the pattern. But Ellen would certainly not bring drug addicts here. We are not a drug center. We do not work with people who have drug problems. We'll work with people who have drug solutions, but not drug problems. We do not baby them through that. We baby them through the solutions that we will do. We do not work with alcoholics here. We do not work with people who say, I am an alcoholic. We work with people who say, I am whole and perfect. Do you understand me? Do you understand? It has to be this way. This is our program. This is what we teach. And if we allow ourselves to go away from our teaching, we may as well join the ranks of the regular society out there who has a beautiful program, but it is not the program we teach here. And when people come here with illnesses, and they want to tell about the illness, and they want to let the illness control them, they do not want to be the master of the illness, and not the master of the illness, they want to be the master of wholeness. You understand that? Wholeness. If they don't want to be master of wholeness, then this is not the place for them. Now, it doesn't matter who they may be. If they are a husband and wife, then equally, the wife must be as equally interested as the husband in the healing. When we had friends here a while back, a year or so ago, the wife was very interested in her husband's healing. But the husband didn't seem to be too interested. He would not cooperate in the program. He did not know what we taught. He did not know our philosophy. He did not take our courses. He did not do any of these things. And yet we let him come to campus for a short time to work on our healing program. But he would not cooperate with the program. He would not come and attend meal times. He would not come and attend the lectures. He would not come and attend anything. So therefore, he did not get the benefit. And he died. Which is okay. But he didn't have to. He was brought to the water by his wife. and he didn't drink. We are brought to the edge of truth. We are brought to an awareness of our divine self. And if we will not step over that edge into our divine self, there's nothing any of us can do. Confucius said, if someone comes to him asking for truth, and they will not put the other corners of the triangle together, there's nothing he can do to help them. He can give them two edges of the triangle. And that's very definite, isn't it? It's very easy to find the third solution. It's not that he's giving them an insoluble problem or a difficult problem. He's giving them a very real problem. How many degrees make up a triangle? Anybody know?
180.
So if you have 90 degrees on one corner and 20 degrees on the other corner, what's the degrees on the last corner?
70.
Huh?
70.
70. You have 70 degrees on the other. It's quite simple, isn't it? But the thing is, if you will not, how do I know that? If you will not stop and think how simple it is and do it, you will not gain the benefit from it. You see, if someone does not want to learn, I will not spend my time trying to break down their barrier and teach them. When they're ready to come and learn what we have to share, what I have to share, then I am ready, overwhelmingly ready, through the night, through the day, through the week, through the month, through the years, through the life, to share. But if anyone does not have an interest in hearing what I have to say, I shake the dust off my feet and walk away. He said, well, why don't you stand and talk with him? Why don't you argue with him? Why don't you convince him? Why don't you talk to him? Talk to him. Hey, I don't care. I am not here to be a teacher. I'm not here to be a sharer. I'm not here to be a mentor. I'm not here to be anything except to be myself and have fun. And if it looks like I'm a mentor in the process, that's okay. If it looks like I'm a teacher, that's okay. But that's not who I am. I am me, having fun being myself. And if someone wants to come and hear what I have to say, wow, I pour it on. If someone's not interested in what I have to say, it just cuts me off like a clam. And I say, hey, I'm not going to spill my pearls before those who are not recognizing what pearls are. Do you understand that? It's not that I'm against anybody or for anybody. Would anyone like to say what I am for?
You.
Myself. I'm for you. I'm for myself. Each of us must be for ourselves. But when we create ourselves in the world of others, we harmoniously work in it, or we change it, or we get out of it. Now, let me ask you a question. If we are working with others, and we harmoniously work with them, or we change it, or we get out of it, what do you think? Is that true? Can you understand what direction I'm pointing your mind? We change it. Do we change it? We do not change it. We share who we are, and if there's no one there to hear us, we get out of it. We do not change it. We do not change the rules of the United States to fit our particular desires. We do not change the rules of an organization to fit our desires. We do not change the rules of a church to fit our desires, or think that the church is going to teach what we teach because the people in there are loving. The people can be loving and still have a different philosophy. There are many philosophies, but there is only one philosophy that everyone has. Everyone wants to be themselves and have fun. Everyone. They may object to, oh, I can't do that, I don't deserve it. Hey, come on, let's get to deserving it. Let's get to deserve. You are the creator of your world, and you deserve anything you create in your world. But I don't deserve it. Well, you're creating, not deserving it. And if that's the game you're playing, adios, amigos. I don't dislike you, but I will not associate with people who are not in the philosophy that I teach and share. And hey, nobody has to be in your philosophy either. Nobody. Whatever you believe in, whatever you dream, whatever you teach, whatever you share, stand by it. Stand for it. We have a philosophy here. And our philosophy works so beautifully. And we have had many people come here to campus and experience healing. We have had many people in our seminars experience healing. But they did it for themselves. They accepted the reality of who they are. Now let me ask you this. They accepted the reality of who they are. Did that mean they changed from their old ways to new ways? No. They forgot their old ways and took on new ways. They didn't change. They didn't say, I'm not going to be a bad boy anymore. I'm going to be a good boy. You know? What would happen if a boy said that? You'd say, I'm not so sure about that. But if the boy says, Mom, you're right. Following the rules of the family is good. I want to follow them. Mom, let me know exactly what the rules of the family are. And Mom says, Son, if you will always act in a way that would make you happy, those are the rules of the family. If you would always act in ways that make you happy, those are the rules of the family. Jesus said, it's done unto you according to your belief. It's done unto you according to your belief, not somebody else's. And Jesus says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Same thing. And the great philosophers all said, man, know thyself. So, who are we? Are we joyous, happy, free now all the time? Are we delightful people? Are we harmonious people? Are we people who live our life according to the principle? And the principle is, it's done unto us according to our belief. The principle is, whatever we put in motion for ourselves, that's what it is. The principle is the cause, the law of cause and effect. Whatever cause we put in motion. The principle is, in our human frame, these simple, wonderful things. Now, if you want to violate that principle, you're not really violating it, you're just using another principle. What can another principle be? The principle that says, I hate me. I'm not happy. Nobody likes me. Everywhere I go, people avoid me. And what would happen? That would happen. And if you say, I like me. Everywhere I go, people like me. Every time I speak to anybody, they say, hey, you're a neat person. Every time I speak to a person, I say, hey, you're a neat person. I create my reflection. I create my reflection. I create my reflection. When I'm right, like the boy, his mother said to him, whatever would make you happy would make us happy. But Mom, it makes me happy to leave my room untidy. Son, it doesn't make you happy to leave it untidy. It doesn't make you happy to leave it tidy. That has nothing to do with happiness. Making your room tidy is just one of the rules of the house. But Mom, you said, if it made me happy. Well, does it make you happy? Does it make you happy if I too do not touch your clothing? If I too leave everything on the floor and walk all over it? If I too say, hey, you got clothing there, but Mom, it's all dirty. Well, if you would hang it up or you'd put it in the laundry basket, then I would do it. But Mom, you said if it makes me happy. Well, Does it make you happy to wear old clothes, to wear clothes that you've been walking on the floor? Mom! Well, does it make you happy? You see, we've got to figure out what really makes us happy. Now, what did the boy say to his mother? He said to his mother he wanted to do that which would make his mother happy. And his mother said, whatever makes you happy. You see how the burden gets placed back on us. What makes us happy? Does it make you happy to go around with shoes that are rather worn out and dilapidated? Then take care of your shoes. Don't wear your shoes in the mud, in the rain. Don't wear your shoes in circumstances where they get all scuffed up. Don't climb the mountain with your dancing shoes. Because if you do that, then they're not going to stay pretty. Don't take your beautiful ball gown and climb up the mountain paths and walk through the ways, because the briars and the bramble will grab a hold of your beautiful dress and tear it to shreds. It's just a matter of, if you love something, take care of it. If you love something, enjoy it. If you love something, treat it with all the harmony, all the peace, all the joy, and all the goodness of your heart. You see, when I'm right, I don't argue with myself. I just live what I believe. And everyone who comes into my world lives what I believe or doesn't stay. Or I go. I can go from the world that I had, that people came in who were not very nice. That's happened to lots of people. Our friend in San Diego had this lovely church, and he allowed a board of directors to come in, and they changed the rules and kicked him out of his church. And he went. He didn't care. He was about to retire anyhow. He relaxed, had a great time. But you see, there comes a time of change. There comes a time when we leave the old behind and we go to the new. And that's really not change. That's putting the new cause in motion. You see, if Bob in his church in San Diego had put himself on as senior minister and placed himself there and brought beautiful new people to speak at the church with the new wisdom, because Bob was getting a little bit relaxed in his presentation of his sermons, and they were not the sparkling sermons that he had done years ago, and the people were after that, but he wanted to hold on to it. And he held on to it so tightly by having it be enlarged and by having more board members and so forth. And then, shazam, they said, you won't accept the position of minister, senior minister, and allow the junior ministers to speak. So we'll just have to dispose of you. And you can be sure that was the case. But be careful. When you move from one direction to another, move on in a beautiful way. Move on in a lovely way. Don't hold on to the past, because as you hold on to the past, you'll lose it. And Bob lost the past. He's still a fine man. He's still a good person. He's still doing whatever pleases him. But not quite the way he planned it. And we should do it the way we plan it, by holding true to our procedures, holding true to our program, holding true to what we are. And then we'll always succeed. You've got a lot going for you. When I'm right, I do not argue with myself. I just do it. I do it because I love it. And I love me, and I love you.